Amen. The lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. You can follow along on page 155 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
So, in this bag, I have what is, according to thousands and thousands of bloggers and editorial writers, one of the most dangerous objects ever created in the late 20th century. It is an object that has, according to them, destroyed the millennial generation. It has made them unproductive. It has made them expect everything without having to work for it. It has torn apart our society, and as we introduce it to the next generation, it is surely going to destroy Western civilization and certainly the United States. Now, I have to say, I was hesitant to actually bring it into the sanctuary because it is, if you will, the golden calf of our generation that turns people away from the direction in which they are supposed to go. Now, parents, you may want to cover your children's eyes as I unveil this because you will be shocked. Here it is. It's a participation trophy. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the controversy surrounding participation trophies, people are claiming that if everybody gets a trophy, then no one will want to try. No one will be competitive. They'll just sit around and say, fine, I don't need to do anything. This is it. This is the golden calf that leads our society astray. But if that's the case, my question is, why does God give us not only a participation trophy, but a pre-participation trophy? Why does God give us this? Why does God give us this? Because this is not just a participation trophy, this is a pre-participation trophy. Let me explain. For those of you who are visiting today or haven't been around, we've been doing a sermon series called The Vocabulary of Faith. And we looked at God, Jesus, Spirit. Last week we talked about sin, and Pastor Bethany did a great job looking at different ways to look at what sin means. And today, our word of the day, I feel like I'm on Sesame Street. Our word of the day is grace. Grace. So what is grace? How do you go about defining what grace is? Well, this is what I believe that the scriptures say about grace. Grace is the unearned love and forgiveness of God. Let me say that again. Grace is the unearned love and forgiveness of God. And that's what Paul is talking about in this fifth chapter of Romans. Because what he wants to say is that even when we were not necessarily in the game, if you think about it in that way, when we were on the other side, when we were God's opponents, if you will, God still loved us enough to send God's Son, Jesus, to die for us. That God poured out God's love for us, even when we had done nothing for it. If you think about what we need to do is we need to sort of step back into this moment. That what you have is you have Paul writing to these people in Rome. Now, in Rome, a few of them may have been good Jews who sort of understood the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But most of the people had been Gentiles. They had been people who worshiped not the God of Israel, not the God of Jesus, but worshiped Apollo and Zeus, Mercury. They worshiped all these other gods. And what Paul says is, even when you were doing that, God still loved you enough to pour out God's love and God's forgiveness for you. God gave it to you. It was a free gift. You didn't have to be perfect to earn it. You didn't have to follow all the rules absolutely correctly. You simply were given it. Here it is, Paul says, in Jesus Christ, while we were yet sinners, meaning while we were walking the wrong road, walking the wrong way, God still loved us and gave us grace, the unearned love and forgiveness of God. Now, what's interesting about this idea of grace is that it makes a lot of people nervous. Okay? It just like this trophy makes people nervous. Well, if you don't have to do anything really for it, you know, it's going to destroy you. And they feel the same way about this thing called grace. If you don't have to do something for it, you'll take it for granted. You'll assume you don't need to do anything after you get it. And so what people have done across the centuries is they've said, well, yes, there is grace, but grace is contingent, meaning you have to do something to get it. It's kind of like you have a grace store, right? And a grace store is open and it's closed, open and it's closed. And so the way you get grace, okay, the way you get to open the door to the store of grace is, well, maybe you have to be baptized in a certain way, in a certain church, by a certain person. You do that, and then you have the key to the grace store, and you get to open it, and you get to get this love and forgiveness of God. Or maybe it's communion. If you believe certain things about communion, and you take communion in the right church from the right person, then the door to the grace store is opened and then you get it. Or maybe it's you have to believe certain things. You have to believe certain things and not believe other certain things. And if you believe the right things and don't believe the wrong things, then you get the key and you open the grace store and the light comes on and says, we are now open for business. And grace gets poured out upon you. It's contingent. But folks, if that's the case, it's not grace. It's not free. It's earned. But the whole definition of grace, what Paul is saying here, is like I said, even when we're on the wrong team, even when we're doing the wrong things, even when we're turned and walking away from God, God's love is still poured out to us and given to us in order that our lives ultimately be radically transformed. Now, if you want to see how this grace thing works, okay, I want us to go back to one of the stories that Pastor Bethany talked about last week. When she was talking about sin, one of the biblical stories she used was the story of Cain and Abel. How many of you are sort of familiar with, right, Cain and Abel? All right. So, Adam and Eve have twins, Cain and Abel. Cain becomes a tiller of the soil. Abel becomes a shepherd. And one day they both decide they're going to give their offerings to God. They're going to give something good to God. And somehow they realize that God accepts Abel's offering, but doesn't accept Cain's. Needless to say, this ticks Cain off. Cain is really upset. And so Cain thinks, my brother, I need to do something about this. And so Cain invites, and by the way, Cain invites his brother Abel out into the field. Hey, bro, why don't you come see me? Let's go out in the field. And Cain slays his brother. God shows up, says, Cain, where's your brother? Cain says, how should I know? And the famous line, am I my brother's keeper? And God says, I know where your brother is. You killed him, and his blood is crying out to me from the ground. Now at this point, one would think that God would say, okay, you here's your punishment. You are going to receive the same punishment as your brother. Somebody wants to come join me. Somebody. So Cain said, and so God says to Cain, here's your consequences. The consequences of your action are not that you lose your life. The consequences of your action are that you become a wanderer upon the face of the earth. You have to go out. You can't stay here. You have to go and wander the earth by yourself. And suddenly it dawns on Cain what that means. It means because he is alone, someone may do to him what he did to his brother. Someone may kill him like he killed. And he freaks out. And he cries out to God and says, this is more than I can bear. And you would expect God, being the God of justice, goes, well, this is what you deserve. This is what you get now. Get out of here. But that's not what God does. And the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who came upon him would kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in Nod, east of Eden. And Cain gets married, and Cain has children whose children have children, and they become the creators of music and art. That's grace. Notice, Cain doesn't fall down on his knees and say, oh Lord, have mercy on me, I have sinned, forgive me. He simply says, it's more than I can bear. And the grace of God, this free gift of God's love and God's forgiveness, is simply handed to Cain. And his life is transformed. This is grace. It's the gift of love. It is the gift of forgiveness. That we don't have to earn or be perfect to have. It's ours. So, how many of you have ever watched an awards show? Okay? Right, an awards show where they hand out trophies. Okay? And I mean like the Oscars or the Emmys, or the country music, right? And so when someone comes up to the front to get their award, You know, especially on the Emmys, you watch them and they sort of grasp it like this, right? They put a, it's heavy, they put a hand underneath and they grab it with their other hand, right? And they sort of hold it up like this. All right, I want you all to do that right now. Come on, hold it up, hold it up. Okay, now I want you to sort of feel like there's something heavy in your hand. There's something that matters, something that has weight to it, okay? And now I want you to look at it and see grace. I want you to see in what you're holding this unearned love and forgiveness of God. And God gave it to you not because you were the best or the brightest. God gave it to you because God loves you infinitely and passionately. And you feel it. But now I want you to feel the lightness of it. It is that this, it's light, it's free, it's setting you free from guilt and shame. It's grace. It's grace. And so here's my challenge for you for this week. That every morning when you get up, that you get up and you hold the grace of God in your hands. You hold it. And you remember that God has poured out on you love and forgiveness just because you are who you are. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that in your infinite love, you have given to us forgiveness and reconciliation and love and compassion and kindness and presence. Help us to feel it every day, that we might be uplifted and sent out, knowing that we are indeed your beloved children. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.